brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYAR. That's 1-800-836-9278. It looks like Saddam Hussein and his two sons are dead. At least it's looking like that. We should have confirmation within a couple days, but hopefully among the 14 dead bodies in the restaurant bombed in Baghdad last week, the 14 dead bodies have been found. And hopefully, and reports are that three of them very well may be Saddam and his two sons and then other regime leaders. Hey, I got an email from Poland. We get a lot of emails here at Bob Enyart Live. We all sort of take turns trying to go through the inbox. Our primary email ID is kgovlive@aol.com. K-G-O-V, kgovlive. And sometimes we fall behind. Right now, we have 452 inbox emails. 452. But we get through them. We maybe take 50 each, go through. A lot of them are junk mail, of course. But I got this one. I happened to open this one from Poland today, and I replied. I just thought I'd read you this email because it's fun. We get emails like this on occasion. And in fact, the author of the email very well may be listening to the show right now. Okay, here we go. Dear Mr. Enyar, the subject is the plot translation. And by the way, for new listeners, I wrote a manuscript some years ago called The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible, 330 pages, best-selling manuscript. Thousands of copies have sold, $49.95 each, very expensive, plus shipping and handling. But it's money-back guarantee, 30-day money-back guarantee. But anyway, the title is The Plot Translation. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about the languages that people are working to translate the plot into. And the most success so far is the Spanish translation by a professional translator, a Christian guy. He does the news in Spanish and on radio. And he's done through chapter 7 out of 11 chapters. The Russian translation is in chapter 2. The Romanian translation has only just started. Just the first couple pages or so. The Polish translation is complete through chapter 2. And the German translation is complete through the first half of chapter 1. That was only started about a month and a half ago. So at any rate, I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. And we got this email, Dear Mr. Enyar, I have listened to your radio broadcast through the web for a few weeks. I have found your radio by accident while I was looking for an American speaking station in order to brush up my English. It may be surprising for you, but although I am an atheist, I became your fanatic listener. And I'm sure our friend, now I can't really pronounce his name, Arkadiusz, first name, Arkadiusz Swasiki, something like that. Arkadiusz, I'll just call him Artie for short. So Artie says, although I am an atheist, I became your fanatic listener. I think he means a fan, but I don't know exactly. Okay, now let's continue here. I don't know whether you have met many atheists among your brightest audience in the country. And that's pretty funny. Artie, you got a good point there. That would be an oxymoron to have bright atheist listeners. And we hope you'll break out of that category. But I don't know whether you have many atheists among your brightest audience in the country, but you have at least one in Poland. You know, Doug McBurney has his Denver atheist. I wish I was a believer, but the trouble is I do not believe. That he's put his finger right on the problem right there. Good job, Artie. You're right. That is the trouble. And I emailed Artie back, so I'll read you my email when I get done with his email. Okay, I do not believe. Unfortunately, religion, unlike science, is intangible and unprovable. Therefore, one must believe. You cannot be convinced. Now, that's a very different conception of religion that Artie has in Poland than we have here in America. In America, there are many scientists, technical people, people with advanced degrees who are theists, who believe in God, and many who are conservative fundamentalist Christians who believe the Bible is the word of God. At any rate, let's go on. All right. Anyhow, as Polish proverb says, unsurveyed are God's sayings. That's an interesting proverb. Unsurveyed are God's sayings. So there is a chance that one day I may become Christian. The main reason I am writing to you is yesterday's broadcast. You mentioned about translating the plot. I have heard about the plot many times, obviously on the program. And if only it had been cheaper, I would have bought it. That's a good point. Unfortunately, $50 is a big amount of money. I am a medical student, and my scholarship is more or less $100 per month. So he can only buy two plots a month. Boy, that's a rigid budget, I'll tell you that. Artie, I feel for you. You know, we've made the plot, like just Mount Moriah video, for example. We make that available for free to people who are not Christians. And we've done similarly with the plot. But, you know, videotapes in Europe, usually VHS doesn't work in Europe. You need a different format, like PAL. P-A-L is a popular format in other countries. So maybe we could get a PAL copy of Mount Moriah and send it to Artie. Let's see. Let's continue here. Okay, $100 a month. Since I want to come to the USA, I must incur a lot of expenses. Obtaining an American visa is a very intricate rigmarole. That's a good word for a Polish-speaking English as a second language guy. Rigmarole. I'm sure it is a rigmarole. Okay, let's see. Let me skip a little here. But anyhow, when I heard that the plot was being translated, I hit upon an excellent idea. You mentioned that only the second chapter was translated to Polish. Why don't we translate the entire plot? Now, that's a good idea. Dave and Monica in Kansas, by the way, are working on that. Okay, it is estimated there are approximately 8 million Americans of Polish origin. Some of them still use Polish as a primary language. And, you know, it's so neat when we have atheists get involved with the show and they want to help us get the message out. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob Benyart Live. Hey, those of you who enjoy the show, we got to face the facts. Our Polish listeners cannot support Bob Benyart Live and keep it on the air. It's going to have to be you Americans. Okay, and there are a handful of Canadians and Germans and a few in Japan and England that help out occasionally. But mostly it's up to us, guys. It's up to the U.S. Hey, we carry the heavy load for the world and most of the other important issues. So, of course, we're going to have to keep programming conservative Christian programming on the radio ourselves. So if you'd like to help out, the phone number you can use to call into the show, you could also use to call in a pledge, one time, a monthly pledge, or you can order our materials like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible, and that's the way to get started. First, you get an overview of the Bible, then you study the details. How long have you been interested in the Bible? If you've been studying the Bible, reading it, going to Sunday school for, let's say, 5 years or 15 years, and after all this time, when you look at the book, it's still generally confusing. What is it really all about? You might have a lot of ideas of the details, but what is the whole book about? What's the plot of the Bible? That's what this manuscript is for. First you get the plot down, then you study the details. That's the way it should work. So our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. You could order the plot, either the manuscript, or we have audio tape albums teaching through the plot and teaching through many of the books of the Bible. 1-800-8-NYART. And those audio tape albums for $34.95 a month, if you have a credit card, you give us your credit card number or a debit card, and then automatically each month we can charge your card and mail you so that you pay for, and then you get in the mail in the middle of the month, a Bible study album. Typically six tapes, sometimes four or five. We have one or two like that, and most are six, and some are eight or nine tapes or 12 tapes, seven tapes. So every month you get a Bible study album, and it's a money-back guarantee. Now, why would we do that? Why would a program like Bob and Yart Live offer money-back guarantee? Because people have told us they love the materials. They help them understand the Bible. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we're going to get to some of the latest news, especially in Iraq. You know, American troops have gone into the home of Dr. Germ. Who's Dr. Germ? The woman, the microbiologist in charge of Saddam's biological weapons program, Dr. Germ. And we also now have taken a terrorist training camp run by Iraq and the Palestinians. Let's see. Who ran this camp here? Iraq and the Palestine Liberation Front. And you see, there are these Islamic terrorist groups. They don't all have to go by the same name. They're the same enemy. Al-Qaeda is the same enemy as Hamas, as Hezbollah, as Islamic Jihad, as Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, as the Palestine Liberation Front, as Fatah. It's all the same enemy. And with Saddam, Abu Nidal. And so since Saddam had Abu Nidal relocate to Baghdad and Abu Abbas, two Abus. That's the smoking gun, both barrels. And here's a third barrel. How many guns have three barrels? This is the Palestine Liberation Front. So you've got Abu Ibas, Abu Nidal, and the PLF, Palestine Liberation Front. Also, Saddam funds Hamas and Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad and the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade. So, yeah. State-sponsored terrorism was coming out of Iraq. Anyway, that's supposed to be later in the show. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So Artie writes that there are about 8 million Americans of Polish origin. Of course, very few of them, percentage-wise, only a small percent speak Polish and read Polish nowadays. A generation ago, it would have been a higher percent. And, you know, when we've been in my family, we visited Chicago, and I wonder if Nathaniel remembers going to a Polish church in Chicago, this extraordinary old church, and we went up to where the organ is up there, the balcony. Yeah, remember that, Nathaniel? We went all through that, you, me, and Nathaniel, and there was some old, creepy-looking priest kind of guy in there, and we were hiding up from him. We didn't know if he's going to, like, baptize us or something. And so, anyway, we just enjoyed hanging out in the Polish section of Chicago for half a day. and checked out this extraordinary church. And sure enough, Artie points out that of the Polish-speaking people in America, some of them still use Polish as a primary language, since in certain places it's pretty ubiquitous, like, for instance, in Chicago, Illinois, where one can even study in Polish. All right, that's cool. That's cool. But obviously the biggest Polish reading audience would be in Poland. So, being to the point, my idea is, let me translate the plot. Isn't that neat? Now, we don't have any atheist translators right now working on the plot. Aunt Artie says, let me translate the plot. Send me an electronic manuscript via an email, and I pledge to translate it. And then he goes on to talk about some of the details of how we would pull that off. And it's really neat. Let's make the deal, he writes. I will acquaint myself with the plot without paying $50, and you will get the Polish translation in electronic form. Easy to sub-edit. Isn't that interesting how he put sub-edit? Like copy edit, proofread, copy edit. And prepared to print. In case you had doubts about the quality of translation, I was a vice editor. All right, a vice editor of a youth magazine when I was in college, and my articles were printed in some nationwide magazines, like, for instance, the conservative Nagrzyjski Zas, CZAS. That's why I can guarantee you will get a well-written Polish version of the plot. All I need is just some time, 300 pages. It will be a pretty toilsome task, but I can make it. Whether I make it is up to you. Looking forward to receive your reply. I must underline that you make the very good work. Keep staying online. As you see, there are people listening to you you would never think of. Sincerely, Arkadiusz Swiecki in Poznan, Poland. Poznan. So I checked out an internet map to check out Poznan, Poland. Actually, I like Microsoft's MSN.com maps and directions. I think they're the best out there. So anyway, so I wrote back. I replied today, Mr. Artie. Well, I used the spelling he uses. Mr. Arkadiusz Swiecki. This is Bob Enyart. It was a pleasure to receive your email. I enjoy getting to know people from other countries. My wife, Cheryl, and I hope to visit Poland, but with all of our young children, we will not be able to travel there for perhaps another 5 years. I wasn't familiar with Poznan and looked it up. It seems like a beautiful place. Okay. Your offer to translate the plot is very kind. Da, da, da. And then I told them that I emailed Dave and Monica in Kansas, who have so far translated the first two chapters. And Monica, I believe, is going to get in touch with Artie via email. Dave and Monica will. Okay, but then let me get to the this part of the letter. From the little you wrote about atheism, from what you wrote about atheism, I'd like to make just one comment. It sounds like there is a difference in what kinds of materials are available in Poland versus here in America. Here, there are many scientists and highly educated people who make scientific and rational arguments for belief in God. We point to a great body of evidence which supports a logical conclusion that a creator God must exist. Over time, perhaps we can share some of that evidence with you and get your opinion on it. Again, thanks, Bob Enyart. Okay, so that's our that's one of the 452 emails in the inbox right now at kgov.com. And that's an especially enjoyable one. So, hey, Artie, thanks very much for the wonderful offer. And and we'll see. I actually sent him a partial, just a Microsoft Word a little file of a chunk of the plot, just a little chunk, to see if he could open it and access it and what kind of software tools he has out there. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Hey, American troops in the past 24 hours have inspected the home of Dr. Germ. Dr. Germ, that's what she was called by UN weapons inspectors, a microbiologist in charge of Saddam's biological weapons programs. And they did haul away documents, computer disks, and three men. So that's what they got out of her home. Three men, but she was nowhere to be found. And also, U.S. troops have been inspecting a sprawling terrorist training camp just south of Baghdad. They blew up two more surface-to-air missile systems and three anti-aircraft guns. That's always good. And we've recruited Iraqi police officers. Now, these are new police officers. Never before had these particular men worked for the Ba'ath Party or the regime, apparently. And we've armed them with pistols to help keep order. And Baghdad residents, the markets are open. There are products. There's food to buy. But the electricity is only partly turned on. And so Baghdad residents are purchasing three-foot blocks of ice. Imagine going to the market and buying blocks of ice in three-foot chunks. That's big. They got big ice there in Baghdad. Well, it's 90-some degrees, and they have no air conditioning. So you need big ice. Then we had American commandos who went into Dr. Germ's house, and they were backed by 40 Marines. And this Dr. Rahib Taba, I tell you, these Iraqi names, they are easier than the Polish names. That's, you got to say that. Rahib Taha was this microbiologist and in charge of Saddam's biological weapons program. They think that she's the one who weaponized anthrax for Saddam. And they don't know where she is, but they arrested three men and they got a lot of documents. So that's good. And then a Marine spokesman, Corporal John Holworth, said that the terrorist training camp that the troops are inspecting right now consists of 20 buildings on 25 acres south of Baghdad, and it was operated by the Palestine Liberation Front. Now, you've heard about that ad that we're running in the Washington Times? Well, there was a slight change of plans. It was going to run this weekend, and now it's not. It ran today. It ran today, and better today even than this weekend, because this weekend was the national edition. The daily weekday edition is the one that goes to Capitol Hill, 4,000 copies, the Pentagon, another 100,000 copies through the Capitol. Anyway, we'll be right back, 800-8-NYART. This is our internet-only break. The people listening on broadcast on radio, they don't hear this and the next break. These are our private, intimate, internet-only sessions with our closest friends. And, you know, we have a businessman who's at the studio today. Now, he's out in the studio audience, but he's here to meet with a few others after the program. It's basically our informal board of directors, businessmen who are helping oversee the finances of Bob and Yurt Live and making recommendations on how to keep the program financially healthy. And he agreed, he let me know at the beginning of this break that he agreed the show cannot stay on the air with the help of only our Polish audience. We need the support of our listeners. And, you know, I'm not very good at marketing. That's not my thing. Marketing, raising money, advertising products. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather teach Bible studies. I'd rather debate atheists or homosexuals or pro-aborts. I'd rather debate Republicans than sell materials and ask for donations and pledges and monthly pledges. But we did it that way once, and we made it up to 80 cities, 5 nights a week in 80 cities, and I never asked for money. And then we went down to 0 cities. So now we're on seven cities. We're maybe on our way back up. But we really do need your help. So these business guys who are coming over tonight to give us some direction, I already know what they're going to say. They're going to say, Bob, your audience has to support the show. So you guys could beat them to the punch and call 1-800-836-9278. In fact, you could help us keep our costs down. Call our local number, 303-463-7789. And make a monthly pledge, order the monthly Bible studies. We need your help. ANYART, that's our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. Now, if you're calling from Japan, Germany, or Poland, you know, we never give out the international, the U.S., country code, but people could figure that out, right? But then they need our local number. They can't use the 800 number. So I should give out our local number because people calling that will get through a little bit quicker anyway, right? Beat out somebody else. 303-463-7789. That's the number to call in. 303-463-7789. That's our U.S. number if you're calling internationally and you can't get through on our 800 phone number. All right, now let's see. Oh, so our ad ran today. Today in the Washington Times, and we're really excited about it. It's the second time in 2 weeks we've had an ad in the Washington Times sponsored by Denver Bible Church. And what I want to do, you could check out the ad if you go to kgov.com, or all day today it's been at the Washington Times website, but you have to know how to find the print ads online. There's a link for it on their homepage, the bottom right-hand column. But at any rate, if you go to kgov.com, our website, just the very first link at the top, our new ad, and I'd like to... For those who haven't heard what the ad is, today it went to the White House, it went to Capitol Hill, 4,000 copies, it went to the Pentagon, and it has a deck of cards in the middle of the ad, and it shows an ace of spades with Yasser Arafat's face. And it's a pretty good likeness of Arafat. Yeah, I think, yeah, you guys agree? Yeah, that's a good, excellent likeness. It's an artist rendition, and it has under his mug, it says Yasser Arafat, President, Palestinian Authority. And then I want to read you the fine print at the bottom of the ad. It says, next, and then Arafat's picture on the ace of spades, because the Pentagon in Iraq has distributed playing cards with the top 55 Iraqi most wanted. And so far, how many have we captured of the top 55? Three. We got three. And we most that doesn't count Saddam and his two thugs' sons. So that'd be six out of 55. Okay, public school teachers, what percentage is that? Quick, come on. Don't use your fingers. All right, so anyway, let me read the small print to you. Under the deck of cards in today's Washington Times, it says, as a terrorist, Arafat should never enjoy American diplomatic protection. Let's leverage the momentum of American justice. President Bush saw the connection between America's security and the liberation of Afghans and Iraqis. Now we pray that he will no longer allow the United States to tolerate Palestinian terror. After repeated aggression from its neighbors, in defense, Israel took Gaza from Egypt, the West Bank from Jordan, and the Golan from Syria. Israel took no land from a Palestinian state, for no such state existed, nor was there a Palestinian currency, king, or constitution. Yet, to live in peace, Israel offered to give Palestinians virtually all the land they have asked for. Refusing that offer, Arafat launched a new wave of terror, funding it as a Palestinian Authority document reveals. Every time America has negotiated with terrorists, like Arafat, we have reinforced terrorist motivations. The Iraqis had praised their own leaders, yet needed liberation from them. So too with the Palestinians. To help get this message to President Bush, you can email this ad from justicemomentum.com to the president at whitehouse.gov. Mail a copy to President Bush. We give his Washington, D.C. address. Or call him. We give his phone number, the switchboard at the White House, to say, quote, as a terrorist, Arafat should never enjoy American diplomatic protection. Discuss this ad at theologyonline.com. And then finally, sponsored by DenverBibleChurch.org. DenverBibleChurch.org. Now, granted, most Christian churches don't take ads out. Putting a political leader's face on an ace of spades, which marks him as a target and one of the most wanted terrorists in the world. But he is, and we do protect him. And what in the world is that all about? How could it be that America protects the father of modern terrorism? When Israeli troops had surrounded Arafat's compound and blew the mother of all holes into the side of the building and went in and took out boxes of documents proving Arafat's personal support for terror and leadership of terror, well, when that happened, our government should have said to the Jews, we should have said, you got them surrounded, now arrest them or kill them and try them as a terrorist. Just like we would have done to Saddam or Osama bin Laden or Queasy or Fumi or any of these terrorist leaders, Abu Nidal, Abu Abbas, Muhammad, any of them. But we told Israel, back off. Leave them alone. Let them go. What's with that? I thought we've got a war against terror. It sounds too much like our war on drugs, the perennial war on drugs, the bureaucracy building war on drugs. You know, if you're going to fight a war, fight a war. Don't have your enemy and then the enemies you support. What does that mean? So it's rather frustrating. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. You know, even the Associated Press, in an article in the Rocky Mountain News, points out that the discovery of this terrorist camp in south of Baghdad, where it was apparent that the Palestine Liberation Front and the Iraqi government were teaching people how to conduct suicide missions, how to make bombs, and they had questionnaires that we found the questionnaires that the trainees of the camp filled out. And they asked them, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a bomb maker? Do you want to be a suicide terrorist, jihadist, lunatic? And most of them checked off, I want to be a terrorist lunatic and blow myself up. That's what most of them checked off. Of course, I can't give you the verbatim translation since it's in Arabic. But I think it says, I want to be a suicide terrorist lunatic. But most of them, according to the Associated Press, answered the questionnaire saying that they were volunteering for suicide missions. How's that one? And so the Associated Press points out that when you got Abu Abbas and the Palestine Liberation Front's terrorist training camp all in Baghdad, it says that this supports Bush's longstanding claim that Iraq has provided sanctuary to terrorists. That's right. Let's go to Brighton, Colorado, 1-800-836-9278. James, speak your mind.
Bob, how are you?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, I just want to say I think it's great that ad you put in the Washington Post.
Thank you.
The Washington Times
today, right.
And that's a great story about that email from Poland.
Thank you.
And I just want to encourage people, they need to support this ministry because it definitely has a worldwide reach.
You know, we do reach people. In fact, we ship products to Mexico, Canada, Japan, and Europe on occasion. And there is a definite audience of regulars outside of our country. And we're excited about that because there's almost no Christian conservative movement in Europe or Japan or Canada for that matter.
Well, considering how small your budget really is, I think anybody who supports the ministry will realize how much bang you get for the dollar, really.
Well, that's very, very kind of you, James.
Hey, another thing.
Yes.
Did you hear that the Catholic, I think it's the bishop of the diocese that Tom Daschle lives in South Dakota?
No.
They told him to remove any reference to him being a Catholic from his bio in the Senate. You know, being in the Senate, his bio showing, you know,
wow,
where he's from and all this. And he leans on the fact that he's a Catholic, and they don't want any association.
Wow, right? That's amazing. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. This is a commercial break, live commercial break, and we were talking about the plot being translated into these various languages. And the neat thing is if English is your native tongue, well, then it doesn't need to be translated. It's ready for you to read. Not everybody is into reading, you know, lengthy manuscripts, 330 pages. It's pretty long. If you formatted it like a typical paperback book, how many pages would it be? If you format it like a trade, okay, people in the studio audience are saying 400 to 500 pages. Yeah, it's a good size book. And not everybody's into reading, you know, that much, that thick of a book. So you might want to check out the plot on audio tape. And these albums, I don't just read the manuscript. We talk through it, teach through it, and it's a lot of fun. So we have a plot seminar, which is 6 tapes, or you could get it on a CD-ROM, MP3s. It's $32.95 plus shipping and handling. And then if you enjoy that, in fact, you end up with an overview of the whole Bible, an overview of the story of the Bible. And if you have not spent time trying to get an overview of the whole Bible, then it will surprise you what stories are in the Bible and which are the main stories that tie together to give you the big picture. It will surprise you. Even if you've been going to Sunday school and listening to sermons for 20 years, it's a lot of fun. You know, one of our teenage sons always says, "Trust me, trust me." So that just came to mind during that break. 1-800-836-9278. So this is Tom Daschle's Roman Catholic Diocese, James?
Yes, I saw it on Drudge Report. I think it might have been the bishop or, you know, some representative there. They're fed up with his pro-abortion stand, and they don't want any reference to him being a Catholic. They're not excommunicating him, but they're pretty much telling him to quit telling everybody he's a Catholic because they don't want to claim him.
You know, it's gross when pro-life churches don't excommunicate pro-abortion members. And so, of course, the Catholic Church has the Kennedys and Daschle and others. They should excommunicate. But when you think about probably one of the best conservative Protestant denominations in the whole country, probably the Southern Baptist. And Bill Clinton was a Southern Baptist, and they never excommunicated him.
Oh, boy.
And we had Billy Graham saying that when Bill Clinton retires, he could be an evangelist.
Incredible.
So, yeah, we have real weird stuff goes on in Christian politics.
I can see Bill Clinton on stage right next to Benny Hinn.
Oh,
Benny
boy.
Hits him on the head, Bill reaches in the pocket.
You're too much. All right. So anything else, sir?
No, that's pretty much it. Just keep up the good work.
All right. Appreciate your call. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. You know, the Baghdad Zoo has been looted. The animals are gone. The only thing that stopped the looters was pretty much the lions. That's about it. More than 300 animals are missing. Only the lions and the tigers remain. So, General Tommy Franks visited Baghdad and was hanging out in one of Saddam's palaces. That was pretty cool. Had a meeting in one of Saddam's palaces. You know, a month ago, if somebody would have asked Saddam, "Do you think the supreme commander of the coalition forces will be having a meeting in one of your palaces with his troops in 4 weeks?" I don't think Saddam would have believed it. I think he thought he was going to win again. I really do. But he didn't. He lost. All right. And, you know, we haven't mentioned this on the show, but it was a great move when Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld ordered our U.S. military engineers to shut off the pipeline to Syria. the oil pipeline from Iraq, Western Iraq, into Syria, which was pumping about 200,000 barrels of crude oil a day. Now, I wonder how many horsepower you need in the pumps, assuming the pipeline went 100 miles across level terrain. How many horsepower do you need to pump crude oil, sweet crude, at 200,000 barrels a day? We've got a specialist who answers questions like that for Bob and Yurt Live. We'll ask him. Actually, one of our dear friends of the show, that's his business. He sells the world's premier software on determining pumps for pipelines and also conveyor belts. Conveyor belts and pumps for pipelines. We've got a lot of technical smarts in our audience, the brightest audience in the country. All right, then, hey, remember when Bill Clinton announced that we finally have decoded the human genome and we now know? Remember Bill Clinton announced that? People in the audience are saying yes. In fact, everybody remembers, except for one. Ma'am, you don't remember? You don't remember that? Everybody else remembers. Bill Clinton said he made the announcement right before he left office a couple years ago that genetic engineers have the entire 3,000 base pairs of amino acids laid out, except for a few small gaps. They've got the whole thing. And so he announced that the human genetic code has finally been published. The only thing is, we went on the air at that time. I feel like we were the only ones I remember making this point. I didn't hear it in the media elsewhere, that whole thing was a scam. Because they were not done, Clinton wanted to announce it and take credit for it on his watch right before he left office. They weren't done. And now, just this week, tax day, April 15th, genetic engineers announced that they have finalized the human genome. Actually, they have published 99.99% of the genome now. When Clinton announced that it was done, there were thousands of gaps in the sequences of DNA, the amino acid base pairs in that huge DNA molecule. Thousands of gaps when Clinton announced it. Now, there are still some, but we have 99.99% of the gene is now we can publish it. Now, does that mean we know what it does? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We're learning what little bits here and there do, and we don't yet have a good understanding of the interaction of different genes and the instruction sets for making various protein molecules and ribosomes and all the things that the DNA does. We're just beginning to understand it. Is there, for example, could they turn on or off? Can they identify the gene to make somebody blue-eyed versus brown-eyed? Do they have that gene? No, we don't know. And it might not be that simple. It might not be one gene. It might be interaction of a number of complex factors. But little by little, we're going to find out a lot about how God put together the blueprint of living creatures. And you know what's interesting about life? You know, we like to say that life is carbon-based, a carbon-based life form. But really, it's information-based. It's really information-based. Because your DNA, it's information. It's an instruction set. And when DNA was first discovered, evolutionists were hoping that that there would be the laws of physics that would just automatically determine by the laws of physics how the DNA molecule would come together and why it came together that way and how it's just natural. But that didn't happen at all. What they found out is that there are no laws of physics that decide how a DNA molecule would be put together. It's information. It's like an encyclopedia. And there's no laws of physics that decide which order the letters in encyclopedia need to be placed. There's no laws of physics. There's no momentum or acceleration or inertia that would say what order you put the letters in a sentence. That has to be done by intelligence and based on information. And that's what our genetic code is. There's no law of physics that said that this is how these amino acids should line up. Quite the opposite. It's obvious they were designed by intelligence. And really, you have to be uneducated or a fool not to see the designed complexity of human DNA. Either uneducated so that you don't know about it, or you do know about it, but you're a fool and you accept that that level of complexity can happen by accident. So we'll find out about Artie in Poland. We're hoping that Artie just is unaware of the genetic complexity of the DNA molecule. Artie, if you're not familiar with that, now you're a medical student, right? So you should be familiar. But why don't you, between now and the next time we correspond, why don't you read an article in Polish, that's okay, or English, on the complexity of DNA. And then try to put your mind to the task of trying to figure out how could that happen by accident? How could that happen by accident? And, you know, those who want to believe that, well, just by accident, for example, some little worm. How does a worm that has no vision system, no eyesight, or a little creature, how does it develop eyesight? How is that possible? And they think, oh, well, it developed sunburn. And the sunburn formed a pimple, and the pimple started to see. Well, that's all pretty stupid. That's pretty stupid. Sunburn hurts, but it doesn't see. It does not see. And, you know, even if they were right and the simplest little improvements could happen by chance, say in a single-celled organism, well, how about when you get to multi-celled organisms and you have multiple extraordinary complex systems interacting together? And any one random change in one system causes the other systems to break. And changes need to be coordinated among all the complex systems simultaneously so that creatures can function. It can't evolve. It's not theoretically possible. It's absurd. It's absurd that such things could happen by chance. There are not enough atoms in the universe. There are not enough times. There's not enough time in the fantasy of the evolutionist to make these things happen. Hey, we're out of time ourselves. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right.